Hare Krishna. So starting today for 3 days, we'll be speaking about Lord Chaitanya's visit to Vrindavan, his journey to Vrindavan in brief, and also his travels within Vrajabhumi. As we all know, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's connection with Vrindavan is very deep and significant. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is none other than Sri Krishna himself. And not just that he is Krishna, but he is Avatari Krishna, which means that he is the same Krishna who resides in Vrindavan. Krishna in Vrindavan is the original Supreme Personality of Godhead, who expands himself first into Balaram and then thereon into so many other forms. They are all four-armed forms who are present in Vaikuntha, in the different Vaikuntha lokas, the planets there. So they are called avatars or expansions of Krishna. But Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is not an avatar in the sense that he is not a four-armed expansion of the Lord, but he is directly Avatari Krishna. Krishna in Vrindavan is called the Avatari. He is a source or the origin of all the avatars of the Supreme Lord. So Mahaprabhu is a self-same Avatari Krishna. The only difference being that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the Avatari Krishna who has accepted the mood and complexion of Srimati Radharani. In other words, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Krishna in the Vrajabhav or the mood of Vrindavan of a devotee, and specifically of Srimati Radharani, and even more specifically, the mood that Srimati Radharani exhibited when Uddhava visited Vrindavan from Mathura. Krishna sent Uddhava to Mathura to understand the depth of the devotional sentiments of the residents of Vraja. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was in the guise of a devotee, the topmost devotee. And therefore he constantly not just experienced but also sometimes externally exhibited the symptoms of that love. As he traveled in different places, he would constantly think of these places as being Vrindavan. For example, in Jagannath Puri, he would imagine the sea to be Yamuna, or the sand dunes on the beach, Chataka Parvat, as being Govardhan. One night he ran towards the Chataka Parvat thinking this is Govardhan. So he was absorbed, immersed in that Vrajabhav. And because of that internal consciousness being absorbed in that way, he always imagined the external surroundings also to be the physical Vrindavan. In a higher sense, Vrindavan is a state of consciousness. And Mahaprabhu was always in Vrindavan. But also there is a physical place called Vrindavan. And Mahaprabhu used to imagine every place to be Vrindavan because he was in that state of consciousness. And this is an important lesson for us, that if we also always remember Krishna, then we are in Vrindavan. Srila Prabhupada said that actually, that if you always think of Krishna, then you are in Vrindavan. So then perhaps as we walk down central London and see the skyscrapers, we may think, oh, this is Govardhan. So therefore Mahaprabhu's connection to Vrindavan is very, very significant. And that being so, actually he is the very means for us, and the end also, for us to attain Vrindavan. we cannot understand Vrindavan, Krishna in Vrindavan, Krishna's associates in Vrindavan, the pastimes of Vrindavan, without Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has come here to reveal Vrindavan to the world, because he lives Vrindavan. And what about Vrindavan has he come to reveal? Specifically, he has come to reveal a certain mood which is called the Unnata Ujjvala Rasam, that most elevated rasa of the love of the gopis for Krishna. But in general, he has come to reveal Vrindavan. Till Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's advent, mostly the avatars of the Lord exhibited, or they taught, or they invoked in the hearts of devotees the love of Vaikuntha, which was a love of the Lord that was imbued with a spirit of awe and reverence. But in Vrindavan, as we all know, awe and reverence are conspicuous, as they say, by their absence. There is no awe and reverence in Vrindavan. Nobody in Vrindavan considers Krishna as God. They love Krishna not because he is God, but in spite of his being God. Because that is their love, their feeling of intimacy. Anarpita charim chirat karuna yavatirnah kalau samarpayutam unnata ujvalarasam svabhakti shriyam. So Kaviraj Goswami says that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, or Krishna, has come as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to give something that was never before given by any other avatar of Krishna, or which had not been given for a long, long time. So he came to give that rasa of Vrindavan to everyone and make Vrindavan available and accessible to everybody. Otherwise, Vrindavan is such a lofty and exalted state that it's very hard for anyone to penetrate into it. And therefore, we have many others who take the process very cheaply, and that's called sahajiya. So the acharyas, and specifically Srila Prabhupada, has prohibited us from taking Vrindavan very cheaply. So when devotees go to Vrindavan, we should be very careful, because there are varieties of people in devotees even in Vrindavan who will entice us to move into very attractive forms of what appear to be attractive forms of Krishna consciousness. But we are not ready for them. And that is not the way that our acharyas in our line, and especially Srila Prabhupada and Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, have asked us to. So there are many instances where devotees go to the holy places in Braj, and they may get influenced by some people and adopt practices or perhaps philosophies that may not quite be right for us. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's teachings must be very properly understood, and his example. So through Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Vrindavan is revealed and the Srimad Bhagavatam is revealed. The pinnacle of the Srimad Bhagavatam is the 10th canto, and especially the Vrindavan Leela. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has come to teach us that specific section, although he himself relished every word of the Srimad Bhagavatam. So we must follow in his footsteps too. So we shouldn't study only the 10th canto of Vrindavan Leela, but we should also study the other sections of the Srimad Bhagavatam. When Raghunath Bhatta Goswami would recite Srimad Bhagavatam, then Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would hear from him. He would hear the pastimes of Prahlad Maharaj, the pastimes of Dhruva Maharaj, 108 times consecutively. He would go on hearing, keep reciting Raghunath, keep reciting. So he set the example that we should hear Srimad Bhagavatam. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's visit to Vrindavan is all the more significant for us. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, interestingly, tried to go to Vrindavan 3 times. The first 2 attempts were unsuccessful, by his own arrangement, of course. He is the Supreme Lord. Who can stop him from doing what he wants to do? So by his own will and arrangement, the first two attempts were unsuccessful, and the third attempt was successful. Let's talk briefly about the first two attempts, which were unsuccessful. Before Chaitanya Mahaprabhu became known as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, his sannyas name was Sri Krishna Chaitanya. He was known as Nimai. And because he was so scholarly, even as a young boy, as a teenager, he was called Nimai Pandit. Pandit meaning a scholar. And he had acquired a formidable reputation as a debater and as a scholar. And the greatest scholars in Navadvip wouldn't dare to come in front of him because he would defeat everyone effortlessly. However, there was one great devotee who was able to defeat him. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, or Nimai Pandit, was very happy to be defeated by him, even in his phase as an apparently arrogant scholar. And that great devotee was Ishwarpuri. Later on, Mahaprabhu went on to take initiation from him. So Ishwarpuri came to Navadvip sometime after Nimai Pandit's marriage to Lakshmi Priya. And he stayed there for a while. He came to Advaita Acharya's house. Advaita Acharya initially didn't recognize him, but understood by seeing his symptoms that he was a very exalted Vaishnava. And then gradually the devotees began to understand how glorious a devotee Ishwarapuri was. He was a disciple of Madhavendra Puri. He stayed at the house of Gopinath Acharya for 7 months. And Vrindavan Das Thakur in the Chaitanya Bhagavat explains that Nimai Pandit would visit Ishwarapuri every day and hear Krishna Katha from him. Ishwarapuri was very humble. He had written a book on the pastimes of Krishna called Krishna, Sri Krishna Leelamrita. And he used to urge Mahaprabhu or Nimai Pandit every day to examine the manuscript to see if there were any mistakes. And Nimai, in all his humility, even though with others he wasn't so humble, with Gopinath Acharya, with Ishwarapuri, he said, no, you're a great devotee of Krishna. And how can a great devotee of Krishna make any mistakes? How could I dare to do something like pointing out a mistake in your work? And Ishwarapuri said, no, we may make some mistakes in grammar, or we may make some other technical mistakes. We are human beings, so just do this, just examine this manuscript. And Nimai would say, no. So this would happen every day. And one day, the Nimai Pandit said, actually, Your Holiness, there's one word here, the verb. The verb should be in this tense. It should be Atmanepadi, not Parasmaipadi. It's a technical point. So it should be like this. So Ishwarapuri said, oh, okay, let me think about it. Ishwarapuri himself was also a great scholar. So the next day when Nimai Pandit came, he said, actually, Nimai, I have thought over the matter. And I have come to the conclusion that the tense, the sense in which I use this verb is actually the correct thing. So then Nimai said, yes, actually you are right. And then Vrindavan Das Thakur said, Nimai was extremely happy to be defeated by this great devotee. Otherwise there was nobody who could defeat Nimai Pandit. So then Ishwarapuri left. And some years passed. As the time passed, Jagannath Mishra, who had passed away, and Nimai Pandit wanted to go to Gaya to perform the Shraddha ceremony for his departed father. That is the etiquette in the Vedic culture. The son goes to Gaya. And Gaya is a holy place where the footprints of Lord Vishnu are enshrined. And people who want to perform oblations for their forefathers, they go to Gaya. So Nimai Pandit also went there accompanied by some of his students. He He was a teacher of grammar and logic. He was a very popular teacher. So he had many students with him. So they all went with him to Gaya. Along the way, they went to many holy places. At Gaya also, Nimai performed whatever ceremonies he had come here to perform. And it was here that for the first time, he externally and publicly manifested ecstatic devotional symptoms. Till this time, he was only playing the role of a scholar of grammar and logic. And now he started exhibiting these ecstatic symptoms, and his students, Brahmana students, were bewildered. They didn't know what was happening to him. And then he met Ishwarapuri again, who also happened to be visiting Gaya at the same time. And they had a wonderful time together, and Nimai Pandit served him like a menial servant. He cooked for him, he massaged his lotus feet, and so on. And before Ishwarpuri left Gaya, Mahaprabhu begged him for initiation. And Ishwarpuri actually initiated him there in Gaya. And from there on began a most extraordinary transformation in the persona of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Then Nimai Pandit started speaking aloud to his bewildered students, "Where is Krishna? I want to see Krishna. I am so unfortunate. I cannot see Krishna. I want to go to Vrindavan." And his students just couldn't make out, because they were not devotees. And they were just normal young Brahmana boys who had come to study grammar. And so they were quite perplexed. And Nimai understood that these boys will not understand. So one night he woke up in the middle of the night and started walking towards Vrindavan from Gaya. He was in an ecstatic trance. And as he was walking, he was saying, "I'm going to Vrindavan. Where is Krishna? Where is Krishna? I want to see Krishna in Vrindavan." So he was heading towards Vrindavan. And suddenly there was a voice in the sky, Vrindavan Das Thakur says. And the voice in the sky announced, "My dear Lord, this is not the time to go to Vrindavan. A time will come in the future when you will get this opportunity. You have come here for a mission. You have to deliver the fallen conditioned souls of this world, and you have to liberate them. If you go now to Vrindavan, your mission will not be accomplished. Please go back to Navadvip. We beg you, we are your servants. And we are very concerned that your purpose for which you have advented should be fulfilled." So who were these servants? The demigods. The demigods were very keen that Nimai Pandit's mission should be accomplished. So they reminded Mahaprabhu, "Nimai, you are the Supreme Personality of Godhead, don't you remember?" Because Nimai Pandit was playing the role of a devotee. He was not in the mood of the Lord at that time. So then he remembered, "Oh yes, actually I am the Supreme Lord. I am God." So in this world we need to be reminded, you know, you are not God. And then we remember, "Oh yes, I have such a toothache, actually I can't be God." So Nimai Pandit then halted, and he came to external consciousness, and then along with his friends, he returned to Navadvip. So that was the first unsuccessful attempt to go to Vrindavan. Then of course, after a while, Nimai Pandit took sannyas in Katwa. And he wanted to go to Vrindavan. But his mother requested him to go to Puri. Because she said, "Vrindavan is very far away from here, from Navadvip, and we won't be able to see you. Whereas if you stay in Puri, then that's not so far away. And Vrindavan and Puri are like two rooms of the same house. So is Navadvip. So if you go to Puri, then you will be close to us and we can see you." So Mahaprabhu agreed. And then he went on to reside in Jagannath Puri. And every year, in the Chaturmasya period, the rainy season, the devotees from Bengal would come to Jagannath Puri to get the association of Mahaprabhu. So this happened for 3 years in a row. Then after the third year, when the devotees had left, then Mahaprabhu decided to go to Vrindavan once again. He announced to the devotees, "I am going to Bengal." So he set out for Bengal. And Gadadhar Pandit and Ramananda Rai and all his associates wanted to come with him. He tried to forbid them, but they didn't listen. They came with him. Finally, he succeeded in sending them back from different places along the way. Gadadhar Pandit had even taken a vow to remain in Puri and never step out. Such a vow is called Kshetra Sannyas, where a person takes a vow to never leave a particular holy place. And he stays there, and come what may, he will not leave. So there are some people who take such a Kshetra Sannyas vow for Vrindavan. They take a vow never to leave Brajabhumi. Or even if they leave, they come back by evening. So they must spend the night over there. But nevertheless, when Mahaprabhu asked him to go back and said, "You'll break your vow of Kshetra Sannyas," so Gadadhar Pandit said, "To hell with my vow." "Wherever you are, that is Puri, that is Vrindavan. So I don't care about this vow." So Mahaprabhu said, no, it's not proper. You go back. So finally he persuaded him to go back to Jagannath Puri. And anyway, so Mahaprabhu went via Katak. Then he went to Bhadrak, which is the border of Orissa and Bengal. Then he came to Panihati, the place of Raghav Pandit. And then he went ahead further into Bengal to Kulia, the place of Devananda Pandit, where he delivered many people. And then he walked on and on. He came to Ramakeli. Now, Mahaprabhu had announced to the devotees that he is going to Vrindavan through Bengal because he had two purposes. One was to take darshan of Mother Ganga, and the other was to take darshan of Mother Shachi, his own mother. So he went, as he was walking, he reached Ramakeli. Ramakeli was a place famous for what? Does anyone know? Rupa and Sanatan Goswami. So Rupa Goswami and Sanatan Goswami were living there as ministers of the Muslim king. And they were known as Dabir Khas and Sakar Malik. They even got Muslim names because they were serving the Muslim king. So Mahaprabhu reached there, and this was the turning point for Rupa and Sanatan Goswami. They came privately to meet him in a solitary place, and Mahaprabhu gave them the names Rupa and Sanatan. And he gave the youngest brother Vallabha the name Anupam also. And from that point on, the spirit of renunciation awoke very, very strongly in the hearts of Rupa and Sanatan. And they were making active plans about how they would renounce their service to the king and their family situation and leave and go to Vrindavan to serve Mahaprabhu. In any case, the time was not yet right. So Mahaprabhu was about to go to Vrindavan. And at that time, Sanatan Goswami approached him and said, "My dear Lord, by this time, hundreds of thousands of people, you see, were accompanying Mahaprabhu. As he was walking, his personality was so magnetic that thousands of people, and as he went on, literally hundreds of thousands of people were following him. It was a huge crowd. And they were all along with him, so much so that Mahaprabhu himself narrated later on when he returned to Jagannath Puri that I practically didn't have place to walk on the roads because there were so many people." And Sanatan Goswami saw this, and when he heard that the Lord desired to go to Vrindavan, he said, "My dear Lord, you are the supreme independent personality of Godhead, and how can I have the audacity to give you any advice? But nevertheless, because you are playing the role of a devotee, So I wish to submit something to you. So Mahaprabhu said, yes, Sanatan, tell me. He said, Vrindavan is a very solitary place. It's meant for bhajan. And here there's hundreds of thousands of people with you. It doesn't look quite right for you to go to Vrindavan in such a big group. So when you go, please go alone. So Mahaprabhu later narrated that I didn't pay heed to Sanatan's advice. I went ahead anyway. Then he went to a place called Kanai Natshala. So devotees who have gone to Parikrama in Mayapur, some of you may have gone to Ramakeli and to Kanai Natshala. Anybody has gone to Kanai Natshala from here? Okay, only two? Three, couple of devotees. It's a very beautiful place, up on a hill. Of course, the river has moved away quite a bit from what it used to be. And this is the place Chaitanya Mahaprabhu actually saw Krishna playing the flute, and then Krishna disappeared. So anyway, there are these pastimes that took place. At Kanai Natshala, Mahaprabhu later narrated to the devotees, Shri Shri Radha Gokulananda ki jai, Shri Shri Sita Ram Lakshman Hanuman ki jai, Shri Shri Gaur Nitai ki jai. At Kanai Natshala, Shri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu began to deeply consider the advice of Sanatan. And he realized, actually Sanatan is right. I should not be going to Vrindavan like this. It's not good. It'll set the wrong example. And then people will say, here is another imposter who has come with hundreds of thousands of followers. So Vrindavan is a solitary place. I should go alone, not even with any assistance. I should just go quietly on my own and then come back. So then he decided to go back to Jagannath Puri. And he went back, all the way back to Jagannath Puri, this time via Shantipur, the place of Advaita Acharya. Actually, Mahaprabhu's purpose in leaving Jagannath Puri, ostensibly to go to Vrindavan, was actually to deliver Rupa and Sanatan. So even though he went on the pretext of going to Vrindavan, but he was in his mind, he knew, internally his purpose was Rupa and Sanatan. And then later, of course, as you know, both Rupa and Sanatan left, and eventually they joined Mahaprabhu at different places. So anyway, Mahaprabhu was obliged now to return. So his second attempt to go to Vrindavan was also unsuccessful. So he came back to Jagannath Puri and narrated to the devotees the circumstances under which he was obliged to return and how Sanatan Goswami's advice was actually very correct. And then he says, actually, it is my misfortune. I am so unqualified. I could not go to Vrindavan. And I think the reason I could not go to Vrindavan was that I forbid Gadadhar Pandit to come with me. And he was so eager to come to Vrindavan. And because I forbid him, then Krishna didn't allow me to go to Vrindavan. And Gadadhar Pandit clasped Mahaprabhu's lotus feet, he fell at his feet, and said, my dear Lord, you are the supreme independent personality of Godhead. Who can stop you from doing anything? You can do whatever you wish. At the same time, it is our desire that now that the monsoon season is about to begin, please stay here and go to Vrindavan in the autumn season. Not now. Stay here for the 4 months of the rainy season. So then Mahaprabhu agreed, and all the devotees also were very happy with Gadadhar's proposal that Mahaprabhu should stay on here for another 4 months. So then again the devotees from Bengal came. They stayed for 4 months. And then at the end of it, when autumn came on Vijaya Dashami day, then Mahaprabhu said, okay, I'm going to Vrindavan. And this time I'm going alone. Nobody shall come with me. So he called Ramananda Rai and Swarup Damodar and said, I want you to happily give me permission to go to Vrindavan. If you're not going to be happy in giving permission, then I will not be happy. So this was the third attempt that Mahaprabhu was making to go to Vrindavan. When Mahaprabhu took sannyas, he was 25 years old. And he came immediately to Jagannath Puri. And this was the fourth year in succession that the devotees had come from Bengal. And after that he was leaving for Vrindavan. So Mahaprabhu must have been approximately a little under 30 years of age when his third attempt to go to Vrindavan happened. So probably around the age of 30 he must have visited Vrindavan. So the devotees in Puri then came forward and said, "My dear Lord, we appreciate your sentiment that you want to go to Vrindavan alone. However, you said that you want to make us happy. You want us to give permission happily. So this is how we will give permission happily. Let one brahmana accompany you. Because when you go through the forest, or when you go through villages, you will need someone to cook for you. You will need someone to carry your cloth and your water pot with you. In the forest, when there's nobody to offer you alms, you will need someone to come and collect spinach and so on, vegetables from the forest paths. So please allow at least one brahmana to travel with you." So Mahaprabhu considered the matter and said, "All right, but he should have a peaceful mind." Because earlier when he went to South India, he had another assistant called Kaliya Krishna Das, who was kidnapped by some gypsy women, or rather he allowed himself to be kidnapped by the gypsy women. And even though he was in the physical association of Mahaprabhu, but he got distracted. So you see, even if you are in the personal association of Krishna, you can sometimes fall away. This is the nature of this world. So therefore, that was Mahaprabhu's implication. I want someone with a peaceful mind, not someone like Kala Krishna Das who will go away with gypsy women. So then they said, no, we have somebody for you, we have somebody. And the second thing Mahaprabhu said is that, "Well, yes, I want someone with a peaceful mind, and I also want somebody who is not my normal associate. Because if I take one associate of mine, the others will be unhappy. Why has Mahaprabhu taken him? Why not me?" So we can see that even Mahaprabhu had all these diplomatic issues to consider. So practically how devotees lived in a community and all the issues that came up were also there in Mahaprabhu's time. You see. So then Ramananda Rai and Swarup Damodar said, "My Lord, we have the perfect solution for you. There is this devotee Balabhadra Bhattacharya. We have considered him very closely for a while. He has a very peaceful mind. He has great love for you. And he is not one of your regular associates. He has come with your group of devotees from Bengal this time. So we think he is just the right person for you. So please let him come along with you. He will carry your water pot, pick the spinach and so on from the forest paths, and he will cook for you." And then when Mahaprabhu seemed to agree, they said, "Actually, let a second brahmana come also. Because we need somebody who can, at least till you reach Vraja, he can wash your cloth for you, he can carry cloth, and one of them can carry your cloth and water pot, another can collect vegetables and cook for you," and so on. Then finally Mahaprabhu agreed. And he embarked on the path to Vrindavan. He went through the different places as usual, and then he came to the forest of Jharikhanda. Today it's called Jharkhand. Jharikhanda in those days. And there was dense forest. As Mahaprabhu passed through the forest, looking at the forest, he imagined this to be Vrindavan. And he was in ecstatic trance. He looked at the rivers in the forest, in the streams. He imagined them to be Yamuna. In this way, he was constantly in ecstasy, thinking, "I am in Vrindavan." He was, in a sense, because he was thinking always of Krishna. So he was walking along. And Kaviraj Goswami narrates some miraculous incidents that happened in the journey through Jharikhanda. As Mahaprabhu went along, the first thing he saw was there were many tigers and elephants and rhinoceros and boar, wild boar in the forest. And Balabhadra Bhattacharya became petrified to see all these animals moving freely around. But Mahaprabhu was completely calm. And he walked along. And when the animals saw Mahaprabhu, they parted ways. And they stood aside to let Mahaprabhu pass through. Mahaprabhu was chanting and dancing and walking on. And one time as they were going through a herd of tigers, there was one tiger lying there. Mahaprabhu's lotus feet happened to touch the tiger. And then Mahaprabhu said, "Chant Krishna." And the tiger rose and began to chant Krishna. And Balabhadra Bhattacharya was astonished to see this. As they went on, they had bath in a river, in a pond or a river. And as Mahaprabhu was murmuring the Gayatri Mantra, a herd of maddened elephants came along to also drink water and take bath in the river. And Mahaprabhu saw them coming and he sprinkled water on them and said, "Chant Krishna, chant Krishna." So the elephants, right in front of Balabhadra Bhattacharya's astonished eyes, began to jump and dance and chant Krishna, Krishna. And Balabhadra was really struck with wonder. And then they went on, and there was a herd of deer that milled around Mahaprabhu in large numbers. Mahaprabhu remembered different verses from the Srimad Bhagavatam, especially from the 21st chapter, the Venu Geet, the song of the flute, in which the gopis also chanted about the good fortune of the deer and the doe in Vrindavan, because they would come up to Krishna when Krishna would go out to graze cows in the forest. And they would mill around Krishna and they would lick his body, they would smell the fragrance of his body, they would have their eyes, their gaze fixed on Krishna's transcendental body. So Mahaprabhu remembered those verses and began to chant them. And then these deer and doe were also in ecstasy. And Balabhadra Bhattacharya was just watching this completely astonished. And as they went along, there was an even more astonishing sight they saw, that Balabhadra saw. There were tigers and deer who came along. The tigers joined the herd of deer. Now, they are naturally inimical animals. When a tiger sees a deer, he attacks it and kills it to want to eat it. But this time, the tiger and deer were mixing amongst each other in a very friendly way. And not just that, when Mahaprabhu asked them to chant and dance, they stood up on their two hind legs and they were raising their hands and chanting Krishna, Krishna. And not just that, Kaviraj Goswami describes that the deer and the tigers were embracing each other and placing the lips on each other and kissing each other. So Mahaprabhu was smiling happily to see this fun. And Balabhadra Bhattacharya must have almost passed out of astonishment to see this. And at that time, Mahaprabhu chanted this verse that we have on the board in front of us, which is spoken by Balabhadra, which is spoken by Brahma, actually. It's about Brahma. It relates to the Brahma Vimohana Leela. When Brahma stole the cowherd boys and the calves and hid them in the cave. So this is text 39 from Madhya Leela chapter 17, titled "The Lord Travels to Vrindavan." Srila Prabhupada's translation. Vrindavan is the transcendental abode of the Lord. There is no hunger, anger or thirst there. Though naturally inimical, human beings and fierce animals live together there in transcendental friendship. Purport. This is a statement from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 13, Text 60. After stealing the cowherd boys and calves of Sri Krishna, Lord Brahma kept them asleep and hid them. After a moment, Brahma returned to see Krishna's condition. When he saw that Krishna was still busy with his cowherd boyfriends and animals and was not disturbed, Lord Brahma appreciated the transcendental opulence of Vrindavan. And then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu started telling all the tigers and deer, chant Krishna and dance. And then this wonderful thing happened. And even the trees and the creepers became extremely jubilant. And the entire forest was resonating with the sound vibration of the holy names of Krishna. And there were many tribals there, the Bhils and so on. And Mahaprabhu saw that they were quite uncultured and uncivilized. But Mahaprabhu delivered them as well. And alongside wherever there were villages, Balabhadra Bhattacharya would go and collect grains and rice, and then he would cook them for Mahaprabhu. And sometimes when they were traveling through forest and there were no villages, he had some stock of rice that he had collected as alms previously, and he would pick up some spinach or other wild vegetables from the forest path and he would cook. And Mahaprabhu really appreciated that. He said, "This is delicious." And then he said, "Balabhadra Bhattacharya, formerly I tried to go to Vrindavan, but because hundreds of thousands of people were following me, I could not accomplish my objective. But now, I am going through the forest, and I am relishing the solitude of the forest here and the beauty of Vrindavan forest. And you are cooking such delicious prasadam for me. So I am very obliged to you." And Balabhadra Bhattacharya, who had served Mahaprabhu and pleased him, fell at Mahaprabhu's feet and said, "My Lord, it is my great fortune that you have taken me with you as your servant on this trip to Vrindavan." So in this way they passed through Jharikhanda, went on, and eventually came to Varanasi, Kashi, Banaras, the place of the famous Lord Vishveshwar temple, Kashi Vishwanath. Mahaprabhu was taking darshan of Lord Shiva in the Vishveshwar temple. He met Tapan Mishra, his old associate from East Bengal there, present-day Bangladesh. When Mahaprabhu met Tapan Mishra in East Bengal, he was still playing his role as a scholar of grammar. But confidentially, he had instructed Tapan Mishra to chant the Hare Krishna Mahamantra. So actually, Mahaprabhu had begun his preaching even before the transformation at Gaya. That was only to Tapan Mishra, nobody else. And he had instructed him, "You go to Varanasi, and I'll meet you there later." And now the time came. So Tapan Mishra was overjoyed to see Mahaprabhu, who had now taken sannyas. And then he invited him to his home. Mahaprabhu happily accepted the invitation. And there was a great devotee of Mahaprabhu called Chandrasekhar, who also happened to live in Varanasi. He also came and joined Tapan Mishra. Then there was another Brahmana who was from the Maharashtra province. And he heard that this great devotee had arrived. And he went and spoke to Prakash Ananda Saraswati, who was a leader of the Mayavadi sannyasis in Varanasi. Varanasi is the capital, is the headquarters of Mayavadis in the world. If you want to see, actually better not. If you want to see, you know, the real Mayavadi, they are for real. They are there. You'll know what Mayavadis, what Mayavadis are, and why Mahaprabhu forbade devotees from meeting the Mayavadis. They are something else. So this Maharashtra Brahmin, he went and told the leader, Prakash Ananda Saraswati, "Such and such devotee has come. His name is Sri Krishna Chaitanya." So Prakash Ananda said, yes, I know about this Chaitanya. And he's a sentimentalist. He just dances on the streets and chants with the ordinary common populace. And he doesn't study Vedanta. All of you shouldn't go and associate with him. So the Maharashtra Brahmin was very unhappy and pained to hear this criticism of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So he went back and spoke to Mahaprabhu and said, "My Lord, I spoke to this sannyasi, Prakashananda Saraswati, because I wanted them to have your association. But he was criticizing you. Actually, he called you Chaitanya. He didn't use the word Krishna even once. He mentioned your name as Chaitanya thrice, but not once did he use the word Krishna. So why is he so inimical and why is he unable to chant the name of Krishna? So then Mahaprabhu smiled. He said, "Don't worry. I have a load of baggage to carry, love of Godhead, and I've come here to sell it to the different customers. But these are going to be tough nuts here, tough customers here in Mayavad. But nevertheless, I will, on my way back from Vrindavan, don't worry. I'll dispose of some of my goods here. But because the Mayavadis are offenders at the lotus feet of Krishna, therefore they're not in a position to chant the names of Krishna." So the Maharashtra Brahmin heard that. All three of these Brahmanas, then they served Mahaprabhu well. He stayed there for almost 10 days at their request, although that was not his original plan. But to favor his dear devotees, he stayed there. And then he moved on. Then he went to Prayag, the confluence of the Ganga, the Yamuna, and the Saraswati. So, of course, in Varanasi, Mahaprabhu also had darshan at the Veni Madhav or the Bindu Madhava temple. It's a very old temple, a small one. I visited that when I went to Varanasi. And there's still descendants of those Maharashtra Brahmins who stay there. They must have come several centuries ago over there. It's a beautiful temple, but very small. So anyway, Mahaprabhu then went ahead to Prayag. There's another Bindu Madhava temple there. He had darshan there. He took bath in the confluence of the Ganga, Saraswati, Yamuna. And then further he walked on. Eventually he reached Mathura. And what happened ultimately after his arrival in Brajabhumi in Mathura and then onwards in the other parts of Vraja, we'll discuss tomorrow and day after. Hare Krishna. Is there any question?